We're up to the second half of Mishnah Ches, Perek Beis. Herbie will announce the page. Hey Zion. Chamisha Talmidim Hayil Rabbi Yecher Ben Zakkai. I like to say it's a strange Mishnah, but it's certainly an unusual Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the Chamisha Talmidim Hayil Rabbi Yecher Ben Zakkai ve'eluhain. Rabbi Yecher ben Zakkai left three Talmidim. Obviously, he had many more Talmidim, but these are the primary Talmidim of Rabbi Yecher ben Zakkai, ve'elohein, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinis. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinis is known as Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, considered one of the greatest of the Tanoim, and Rabbi Shua ben Hananya, Rabbi Yisya Kayin, Rabbi Shimon ben Esanel, Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach. These are the five main Talmidim, who, Rabbi Yecher ben Zakkai, Hayamayna Shvachon, he counted off their praises. He said, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinis, Boyer Sud She'ene Ma'abe Tipa. A pitched bar, lined with paper with pitch, an enforced bar, that doesn't lose a drop of liquid. Now, as Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yechem Zakkai was someone who knew everything. And he said he had this Talmud who forgot nothing. I think the Gemara says someplace, Rabbi Eliezer didn't say anything unless he heard it from his Rebbeim. Because he repeated things verbatim that he heard. That was Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinis. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, Ashrei Yoladetai, a very ambiguous praise. Ashrei Yoladetai, praiseworthy is the one who gave birth to him. So we need some sort of clue as to what was so special of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. Later the Gemara refers to Rabbi Yeshua in a separate Mishnah as a chaver toiv, as a good friend. So Ashrei Yoladetai, I guess, means that it was somebody that was, like the Mishnah says later, teferes lo min ha'adam. He was somebody that that was good with people. He was exceedingly good with people. Rabbi Yossi HaKayin chassid. Rabbi Yossi HaKayin wore a shtreimel. Some sort of means. He was a chassid. Chassid b'maisa, Reb Shimon ben Nisanel yirei chet. Shimon Nisanel was afraid of doing sin. Reb Eliezer ben Arach, mayon hamizgaber. Now the two outer ends are the most obvious praises. First, Reb Eliezer ben Horkinis, who didn't forget anything. And the last one, Reb Eliezer ben Arach, mayon hamizgaber, was like a spring that continues to get stronger and stronger as it goes. It's a mayon, a source of fresh water that becomes stronger with time. He's going to say that. Who are you, Eimer? And the Rebbe, would say, if I put all the Tamid HaChamim on one side of a scale, the Eliezer ben Horkinis, the Kafshnia, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinis on the second side of the scale, Machriya is Kulan. He will outweigh all of them. Now, this is especially significant if you know the story of the life of Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinis. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinis, the Gemara is Stam Rabbi Eliezer in Shas, is Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinis. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinis ended up put in Chayrim. He was put in Chayrim after the incident where he had a machlaikis with the other Talmid Chachamim. And he caused heavenly signs to show that he was right. He had the stream run the other way, and the wall start to fall down, and a baskal come out. And that behavior, the Chazal felt, was not excusable. And they put him in Chayrim, and he died in Chayrim. At the end of his life, right before he died, they were matir the Chayrim. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Kiva, his Talmud, came to visit him. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinis was very bitter. Bitter over what? Bitter that they didn't come to learn at his feet as much as they should have. Even though he was a Chayrim, had they distanced themselves Dalet Amos and listened to a shir, they could have done so. And at the end of his life, he said that those who could have learned from me and didn't are also Litein Esadin. And Rabbi Kiva said, what about me? And he said, Shalcha kosher mikulam. You're going to have the most difficult outcome of everybody. And however you understand that Gemara, this was Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinis. So the idea of Eliezer ben Horkinis was Machrias Kulam, was such a great man. But nevertheless, in that generation, they saw a necessity to put him in Chayrim. Now, before I finish the Mishnah, I would like to explain a little about the time. We learn about all the Tanaim, and it's one Mish and Mush, you know, even though they lived over a couple hundred years, it's something of a cholent, Yeshua, Belazar, you know, a lot of names, and they're just different names. They lived during very, very turbulent times, the time of the Chorbin. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was the leader of Klal Yisrael in the generation that suffered the Chorbin. In other words, it was a sea change for Klal Yisrael. And Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai undertook to make certain takanos zechel Chorbin. He undertook, for example, the Gemara says that Gemara has nine takanos actually that he made. He said, for example, there was a takana not to redeem the Meiser Sheni, the fruits that you bring to Yerushalayim, not to be paid to them. If you're near Yerushalayim, you want Yerushalayim to be full of fresh fruit. And after the Chorbin, he said, it's not necessary anymore. Yerushalayim is gone. And people resisted it. It's gone. The first Chorbin, 7 years later, was rebuilt. Right after the Chorbin, they thought this is a temporary state. And Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said, no, it's gone. And it came Rosh Hashanah. And he said, it was Shabbos. It was Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, right after the Chorbin. And during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't blow shofar anywhere except in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beit Sanhedrin, they blew, and no place else. And Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said, let's blow shofar in Yavna. He said, Yavna? Blow in the Beis HaMikdash. So they told Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, the other Gedolei generation said to him, let's sit down and decide. You know, you're one, we're many, let's sit down and decide. He said, you know, it's Erev Rosh Hashanah. Let's just blow shofar, and then we'll sit down and decide. So they agreed. So they blew shofar. So after Rosh Hashanah, he said, okay, now let's sit down and decide. So he said, they already blew shofar in Yavna, and now you're going to decide if they did what's right? So basically, he pushed it through. And there were many such takanas, which are Zechel Chorban takanas, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai pushed through. He sort of managed Klal Yisrael at a time to teach Klal Yisrael that this is a new reality. The Golus is a new reality, it's not temporary, and it's going to be a long haul, this Golus. And it was a major change. Gemara says in Brachis that when he died, he wept. And the Talmidim said to him, why are you crying? And he said, Shtei Derachim Lefanai. There are two paths in front of me, one to Gan Eden, one to Gehenim. I don't know which one I'm going to be taken on. I shouldn't cry. Now when you read the Gemara simply, it's the humility of the man. He's the leader of the generation. He has these five great Talmidim, and he says, I don't know if I'm going to Gan Eden or Gehenim. But we know the story of his life, where he took on his shoulders to differ from many of the Gedolim of his generation. So you know that, he said, I took my chances. I did what I thought was right, and I hope I'm right. And he wept. So it was a very turbulent time. The whole story of the great academy at Yavna, Yavna v'Chachameha, is itself a story worth spending time on. You have to remember that when the Caesar gave Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai permission to ask for something, so he asked for Yavna v'Chachameha. He asked for Yavna that it be preserved. He saw Yavna as the future of Klal Yisrael, the Torah academies, the yeshivas as the future of Klal Yisrael. And that was Yavna. He's criticized for not asking for more. He's criticized for not asking for more, and fascinating to think about. And that might be part of his Shtei Derachim Lefanai. At any rate, the point is that when you learn a Mishnah, you learn about Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, you have to realize when he was. And now taking that into our understanding, that the Sanhedrin had gone through a number of Golos, and even when the Beis HaMikdash stood. But now, there was no Beis HaMikdash. There was no, the formal Sanhedrin structure was gone. The yeshiva, there was no formal structure of leadership in Klal Yisrael, which the Romans in two stages tried to destroy. And now, you understand that when Eliezer gets up and he says, I don't want to pass like the academy. I'm right and everyone else is wrong. and you know, let miracles happen to show that I'm right. So that was something that couldn't be sustained. It couldn't work that way. The structure of Klal Yisrael was damaged. Jews went to Galus. The centrality of Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael was thrown into doubt. And what was left was the yeshiva in Yavna. And that's why there was major upheaval. That's why Rav Gamliel Yehav, who restricted entrance into the yeshiva, was very strict. He was thrown out. What?
What he took was the centrality of Yiddish guy before the Korban was the Beis HaMikdash. But with this destruction, centrality became Tyrone.
Centrality became Tyrone, yes. And that's why it had to be preserved. That's why Rav Gamliel, it's a fascinating story to learn, we'll get to it in Brachis. But Rav Gamliel was the descendant of the line of Nisim. He now headed the yeshiva, and he was very tough on Rabbi Yeshua, and two incidents that took place, and they deposed him. And they said, no more Rosh Yeshiva, you're too tough. And they put in his place, they put in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now that's not the amazing part of the story. The amazing part of the story is that the next day, Rav Elazar ben Azariah took over as Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Gamliel walked in and sat among the students. That's amazing. You know, he sat among the students, and here he was, the descendant from Rabbeinu HaKadosh, from the whole line of Nisim. So anyway, my point is that this was a very tumultuous time, and when he was Moin the Shvacha, and it's not like a Rebbe to publicly proclaim the praise of his Talmidim. But I guess this was something that was sort of a crew of leadership at Klal Yisrael, and that's what he did. Now what's interesting is getting back to the Mishnah that Abba Shaul said, everybody will be on one side, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus is on one side, I'm sorry, Rabbi Shimon ben Chai said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus outweighs everybody. Abba Shaul disagrees. Abba Shaul ben Mishmai, he said, no, that's not what he said. He said, if all the Chachamim, including your best man, on one side of the scale, from Elazar ben Kafshnia, Achriyas Kula, Elazar ben Arach will outweigh all of them. So as Ribeiro started to say, what's going to say here at the bottom is that they're having an argument here, an age-old argument, which is the last Gemara in Brachis, Gemara in Hurrius as well. What is greater in Klal Yisrael? Sinai v'Oikar Harim. Sinai is a baki, and Oikar Harim is somebody who's sharp and mefalpel and Torah, which is a greater level. Somebody has great bekiyas, like Rosam and Horkinus, a bar sid sheinim abitipa, or somebody like Rosam and Arach, who's Oikar Harim, that's the argument. The argument is which one takes precedence. The Gemara at the end of Brachis says that they had an argument about who to appoint as the new Rosh Hashiva. This is during the time of the Amoraim. The Oikar Harim, or was it Rabbi Yosef? Rabbi Yosef and Rabbah. Who to appoint, which one? So that's the disagreement. Let's learn what Reb Chaim Volozhin says. He has very few comments on this Mishnah. Who are Yamei Nishvachan? Dikdik Leimer Hu, V'loi Heima. It's very nice. He says, the Rebbe said their praise. But they didn't walk around saying their praise. Heim ba'atzman ha'yu ha'navim g'daylam. The Talmidim practiced humility. They didn't claim to be great. It was the Rebbe who counted that praise. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is bar sid. In the Mishnah you have the word sid or sud. It's a sid by you in the Mishnah. And my print has a printing mistake. Okay. Sid makes sense, that's lime. Bar sid, a bar lined with lime, which doesn't lose a drop. Mailas bar sid shemazik meima v'loy mechu arim kimei bar. Not only holds the water, but it doesn't get muddy, like the water of a bar. And the walls are not muddy. And Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus is clear, like clear water. He's clear in whatever he learns. Rav Shimon ben Asanel yurechet. And here is something very interesting. It bothers Rav Chaim Volozhin, yurechet is not such a great praise. What? Or were the other ones at least some level of Yerechet? Okay. So what he says is the following. Rishim et esal Yerechet. Hine le'el amar ein bor Yerechet. It says that an empty man can be Yerechet. Aval amar aretz yachli es Yerechet. But someone who's not learned could still be a Yerechet. It's not empty of values. You can have Yerushalayim. Hakana kavaru lebechina acheres biyereschet. It means Rishim and Nesana had a special level of yereschet. So yare meyachet atzmai. It was real to him. He was afraid of the sin as a person is afraid of a snake. Or a burning fire. I like to explain this because the stipler in Parshas Noyach has a varat on this. He doesn't quote it directly, but he's referring to this. He's going to Parshas Noyach on the idea that Noyach was mechasurei emuna. He lacked faith. He lacked faith in God. Why? It started raining. He didn't run into the teva. So it's all hard to understand that he's a man who walked with God. So tzaddik tamavaya b'dayraisa. He was mechasurei emuna. He lacked faith in God. 120 years he built the teva. Was that some faith? So Stipler says talks about this level. He says. He calls it emuna chushis. He says there's emuna which is in the head. We have faith in God. We believe the world can come around on its own, and we have faith in God because we believe in God. Emuna chushis, he says, is an emuna. Chush literally is the senses. It means you feel it. It's as real as everything else. If God said something's going to happen, it's as real as anything else. So that. If the forecasters are telling you something for tomorrow, you may not believe it. But they're telling you, you know, there's a hurricane down the road, you better get into the basement. So people feel it, by fachushi, and they run. Noach's faith in the marble, he believed God said he's bringing a marble, believe he'll bring a marble. But he believed it intellectually. He didn't have an amun chushis, he didn't see it. On this level of Yerechet, of somebody who sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words, Bechush, something that is as real as something you could touch, something you could feel.
So
that's a higher level. They don't say it on Mechasri Amunah, they say that on B'day Raisav. So on Tamavaya B'day Raisav, some say L'Shvach, some Nashvach, nothing to do with Amunah. But on this Mechasri Amunah that he showed, it was a certain lack of faith. And actually, Ben Aminadav had real faith. He ran in, and he didn't hesitate. He ran in. He had emunah. It was going to happen. So he was able to do it. And emunah chushis is a real concrete emunah. It's, you know, like you don't look behind you to see if God is there. You believe it. So that's how he translates, how he explains a yerechet. Oh, so in the Mefarshim Mishnayis, they talk about the order. The order is not in order of praiseworthiness. So what's suggested that one of Mefarshim Mishnayis is that it was just an order of age. He was Mechabit, the one that Apidin, he's supposed to be Magdim, the older one, the Kai, well, not the Kai, because one of the Asiya Kai was the middle, but the Mechabit them in the order of their age. So it says. Well, he was first in the list, but according to the second man, the Amar, Rabbi Lazman Arach deserved to be first, and it's not, the order seems to be not a telling order. Abishol, ki Rebbe Eliezer ben Horkinus haya boyer sid, sheinam abiti, b'haynu baki, that's a baki. Rebbe Eliezer ben Arach haya mayinam misgaber, haynu charif. It was a mayinam misgaber, which means he was sharp. U'bizeh kamifliki, tanakama v'abishol, kidipolik b'zeh bohoriyis. Tanakama savar sinai yadiv, tanakama holds a sinai is greater, abishol savar oikar haramadiv. So this is the pshat in the Mishnah. I would add, someone who's in a classroom, that one of the lessons of this Mishnah is that a Rebbe has to know the strengths and weaknesses of his Talmidim. A Rebbe who teaches in a classroom and treats everyone exactly the same is foolish. It's just like a doctor who gives everyone the same medication no matter what they need. Human beings are born with tchudas and nefesh. Every human being has a different nature. Some people are quick, some people are slow. Some people are stressed out easily. Some people are calm. Some people get angry easily. Some people are hard to anger. These are tchunas and nefesh. These are things that a person can't change. A person can't change. People are organized. People are less organized. Sometimes you get angry at someone. You say, you know, why aren't you more organized? It's cruel because the person says it about himself. Why am I not more organized? And It's a tchunas hanefesh. It's a nature. People have to work with the nature that individuals have. And for that reason, it's important that a Rebbe should know the ma'alas of each of his talmidim.